This is Adriana for the Country Oral History Project. The date is September 23rd, 2021. I have the privilege of speaking with Becky Rodas today. I am located in my home in Lexington right now, and we're on Zoom. And Becky, where are you located right now at your home, I'm assuming?
Also in my home, in Lexington. And I've got like motorcyclists across the street. Are they loud? Close the window.
I just heard it as you said that.
Yeah. If the window noise causes a problem, tell me and I'll close it.
Okay. Yeah. It's not a problem right now. It definitely wasn't too loud now.
And I also have a dog. So.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Double trouble.
Yeah. We could have some interruptions, but anyway.
Yeah, that's okay. But yeah, that about wraps up the intro. So next, Becky, how about you tell me just a little bit about yourself in general?
Well, I'm 62, am a registered nurse. I work from home these days. And I've been single for the last 3 years. I was in a relationship for 24 years. So I've been single for 3 years. And I got a dog, 2 cats. Pretty much it. I work from home full time, and I have a boat, go on the water a lot. I'm always wanting to play with somebody sometime.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
I'm all about having a good time.
Okay, well, thank you for sharing all of that. And I'm going to go ahead and move into the first part of the questions, which, like I said before the interview, is just basic background stuff. So tell me about where were you born?
I was born in Lancaster, Kentucky.
Okay, from Kentucky.
And lived there until I graduated high school and came to college.
Okay, so your whole childhood was in Lancaster.
It was.
Okay, tell me about growing up there. What was it like? What comes to mind?
Well, it's a very, very small town. It certainly wasn't cool to be queer. That's kind of where we're going with that.
Oh, we're going there. You know we're going there.
Oh, yeah. Well, I have 3 big brothers, and there was no girls around, so I played with boys and played sports with boys, and I'm a tomboy. I'm still a tomboy. And it's always been that way. So,
yeah.
I don't get the there's not one of those letters in that LBQTYZ thing that says tomboy.
That's true.
That would be the first thing I would identify as is a tomboy, probably.
Yeah, super interesting.
Yeah. You know, as I've gotten older, I've really kind of been able to figure that out. Consequently, you know, being a tomboy, I think I've really been drawn to girls. So,
yeah. Right. And so let me explore that a bit. So when you say, obviously, like, I understand what you mean, but just for the benefit of the interview, when you say tomboy, what does that mean to you?
Well, I play with boys all the time, you know, because that kind of was what I had to play with. And climbing trees, riding bikes, you know, playing with tobacco sticks and rocks or ball bats and gloves, whatever we had to play with. I remember sitting in front of our house growing up playing with cars and trucks most every day if I wasn't up in a tree. So, I don't know. I guess I consider that a tomboy, and I'm very independent and self-sufficient as I physically can be these days. So I don't know, I can fix things do things and put things together, launch my boat and ride my motorcycle and all that shit. I don't need no man.
You never did. Okay, yeah, that was clarifying. When you were
a little bit.
No, it was. I was thinking about clothes. When you were a kid, what sort of clothes did you wear?
Totally like, boys' clothes. Abs 100% boys' clothes.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. My first best friend, like many people, is my cousin. So and we're about the same age. Mm-hmm. So he would outgrow his boots. I got them. And they were the coolest boots, and I really wish I had some of them like them now. They were the Sears hard boots. Mm-hmm. And so my mother kept trying to throw them away and mm-hmm. pull them out of the garbage can and keep putting them back on me because my foot didn't get any bigger, really. And I had an aunt that really wanted to dress me up a lot, you know, because I was the only girl, too. So dressed me up and had beautiful blonde hair, blue eyes, and you know, it's a cute little girl. So I get it. And if they put a permanent in my hair, it was awful. And I'd come it out as soon as I got home,
mm-hmm.
do the picture or whatever, and kind of see what it is now. I mean, actually, it's growing out. My friend cut it a little bit too short. We're in the grow back out thing.
Okay, yeah.
I did have pictures of me in patent leather shoes and a dress, though, and that was horrible.
Oh, yeah. Incredible.
It's horrible.
Yeah.
They're awful. They're tight, you know, and they're awful. They just, you know, too tight. I don't like it.
No, I hear you. I do. And so you wearing sort of all boys clothes then and doing a lot of those like activities associated with like being a boy or a tomboy or whatever, did everyone around you, like, was that just normal for everyone or did anyone sort of like disapprove of that?
No, nobody disapproved. It was just and I don't, you know, boys clothes, let's define that a little bit. I mean, I guess I probably always wore boys clothes in a way because t-shirts and blue jeans is it.
Right.
T-shirts, blue jeans, and tennis shoes. You really don't need, or boots. You really don't need anything else. Still, today, but sweatpants.
It's very utilitarian.
Jeans is just to go out and then maybe some shorts, but you know, you don't need a whole lot. Mm-hmm. And still that way.
Okay. Yeah. And tell me about school when you were in Lancaster as a kid, just in general. What was your school experience like?
I hated school. I hated school because I didn't feel like I fit in anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I still don't feel like I fit in anywhere, but I do fit in everywhere. I mean, you know, that's kind of it. I do. Fair enough. I can plug in just about any environment you can in front of me, but I don't any of them.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. And so you say it's still the case, but focusing on school, you say you felt like you didn't fit in. What was it about you that you felt like didn't fit in with like other people at school?
Well, there was a lot of things going on. I mean, not just the sexuality, is also survivor, you know, or survivor. So there was a lot of going on that, you know, I didn't talk to anybody about. So I had a lot of secrets. A whole lot of secrets.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
There was very few people I stayed very close to or let close. So I had a couple of teachers that took special interest, really. We got a friend walking by. You might see a black tail.
I actually see the tip of the tail. Yeah. Just like a blur.
Where were we talking about? Oh, school.
Yeah, you mentioned teachers taking sort of like a caretaking interest.
Something. I had a teacher in particular in high school when I was, I don't know, probably young adolescent, 14, something like that. And she seemed to take a special interest in me and a couple other people.
Yeah.
And looking back on it now, you know, it's like we were smart kids that had a chance at something, but we kind of had a fucked up family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and she helped develop us for sure. You know, he's a lawyer and been, you know, county's attorneys and all kinds of stuff. So he's been very successful. I don't know that I've been successful, but I'm still here. I got a job. I own my own house. I got stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm. Right. But what else can you ask for, really?
Right. I've got so.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
Right. Yeah, definitely. Okay. Well, how about something I always ask people is about religion. Was that a part of your household as a kid or was it not really a big deal for you all?
Well, it was. And that too, I mean, that was kind of weaved all through that too, you know, so there's the whole abuse thing going on weaved through that. Cause my mother sang in church. We had a family church.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and like my favorite aunt was the Sunday school teacher in another church, so I was kind of having two places to go, three places that actually I went to church, and so I had a lot of guilt, I had a whole lot of guilt as a kid,
mm-hmm.
With the abuse stuff, and it's, you know, I remember sexuality part, I was in kindergarten, so I was like 4 years old, I was in kindergarten, and the music teacher had a, I remember her. I mean, I can see her to this day because it's all her fault. I'm a lesbian.
It all starts there.
She did. She had this low cut black dress on. It goes back front to back, and all her cleavage was there. And I'm like, got milk? And so fair enough. You know, I didn't get any to begin with. I've been able to figure this out.
Yeah. It's funny you would say that. Like, I usually don't talk about myself in these interviews, but it's always some sort of like kindergarten or first grade teacher that you see and you're just like, you know, you just can't help it.
Yeah, that was it. That seemed to be a big influence. And then
as
I got older and, you know, be really confused with my friends because, again, you know, my peers were boys. You know, so if there was a girl around, I was teasing them along with the boys.
Oh, yeah.
Throw clods at them, make fun at them. It's just, I was like one of the guys making fun of the girls. You know?
Yeah.
And then I wasn't around them very much until I, you know, got to be a teenager.
Right.
Like I would, you know, I would really, I'd be real confused about what my feelings were. So it took me a lifetime to figure that out, whether I was attracted to something about their personality that I liked. And then you just kind of, all that fell into, you must be madly in love or something. And that's not what it would be at all. You know, it'd be like, well, I just kind of like that she wears that sweater really pretty. I mean, it doesn't mean we're getting married, but, you know, my head would go.
Yeah,
I didn't understand a whole lot of that. And I didn't, you know, didn't see a whole lot of overtly affection in outside of hugs and my family. So, you know, I'm not real sure how that worked.
Oh, I see. Okay. And so it was when you were sort of an adolescent that you were confused by these feelings and trying to sort of ascertain, like, okay, what kind of feelings are these? Is it like her sweater? Is it her personality? Is it, you know, XYZ?
Yeah. Does she play softball too? Or being a tomboy, of course, I was a softball player.
Right. And,
I mean, that's what the country was all about, is the softball players. That's how it began. That's why we're all there, because of softball.
Okay, yeah. When did you, well, I guess when you were a kid, you just said that you started playing softball when you were a kid. Was it recreational or a school team or something?
No. There wasn't anything like that back then, or Title IX or anything. So when I was just a kid, like, you know, 8, 9, 10 years old, I played on a women's team. We didn't have little girls' teams. So the older women, they made me feel really special all the time anyway, you know, because it just tickled them to death that I was a tomboy, you know, and I'd be wearing a Cincinnati Red bat and helmet. And they just thought I was cute, and it just made it worse, you know, just made my head getting bigger. And they are. I mean, and I'm still friends with a lot of those women today. And, you know, most of them are 10, 15 years older than us. And so looking at it, of course, they kind of played with me like that. I didn't know I was gay, or, you know, I didn't know. And I wasn't around anybody. And the people that were at school, the guys especially, they were like really sissy. So I didn't want to be anything like that. I couldn't relate to them at all.
Yeah, right. And so I was actually about to ask you what your awareness of just like gay people, LGBT people, queer, you know, whatever is the preferred word, like what your awareness of people like that existing was growing up. And so it sounds like there were some men at your school. Was there anything else really?
Oh, you didn't talk. Nobody talked about it out loud ever.
Yeah.
In school. I mean, and the people, and that was the other thing, because I was probably a little mean and sarcastic to people because of, you know, not accepting in myself. So I might tease a sissy guy to death, you know, and make fun of him. But that didn't have any, there wasn't any girls that I could see that with. You know, I might have thought, like, you know, my PE teachers and stuff like that. And of course they were. You know, back then you didn't talk about it out loud.
Yeah.
At all. And it wasn't until after I got into college that I ever talk about it. So any of those little things you did in the dark, you didn't talk about out loud.
Right. And you mentioned that you lived in Lancaster until you graduated high school, right? And went away, moved away for college?
Yes.
Yeah, and which?
Lexington.
Oh, so you went to UK? Did you go to UK?
Yeah.
Okay, well, tell me about the move from Lancaster to Lexington. I'm sure that's a big change. Tell me about that move and just going to college.
Oh my God. Well, let me put put some time in perspective. At the time, Lancaster took almost 2 hours to get to Lexington.
Yeah. Like,
there wasn't a Highway 27 through there. It was a little bitty curvy road. So it took a long time. So we never went. This was coming to the big city for me.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
It was a big city. There was, you know, I wore cut off fatigues and what were those things called? Tube socks with the stripes on them, tennis shoes and t-shirt. And I had long hair. And I never did anything to it because I didn't wear it straight down. So when I came to college, I had met Sally before I came to college because she was in the same sorority with my sister-in-law to be. So I met Sally before I ever came to college. And my sister-in-law, she would mix us up because, you know, we were both tomboys with blonde hair. So Sally's a couple of years older than me. And anyway, where's I going with that?
Well, I was asking about just sort of like the move and what college is like. You mentioned you had already met Sally.
Right.
And you were like tomboy, had long hair. I thought
I was going to rush Alpha Game sorority where they were sorority sisters there. And that was my plan. So, no, I packed up and I was staying. The dorm was Kerwin 3 at the time. I think those are all gone now. Mm-hmm. So I got there a week early to do rush.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't send my fucking rush card in, so I didn't get to go to rush. But in the dorm with all these really sissy, fluffy girls that had clothes on I'd never seen before. They were all pretty wealthy. And I'm a tomboy with tube socks and cut off fatigues. And I honestly had a lot of fun with them.
Yeah,
had a lot of fun with them. But again, I hadn't come out yet. I'm a tomboy, you know. You know, not as wealthy as they were either. So I had some issue with that. So it wasn't until later on that year, my freshman year, that I had some kind of a conversation or experience with the girl there. And I think she was having some experiments too, but I still didn't come out yet. It was a year later before I ever came out. So I was a sophomore in college before I came out.
Okay.
That was very clumsy.
Yeah. And so that's sort of like behind closed doors, kind of like secret, like experimentation kind of stuff.
Yeah. I felt like I had to go through some kind of initiation or something. It wasn't like a, you know, I don't know. It was just weird. The whole thing for me was kind of weird.
Mm-hmm.
Other people, but for me, it was kind of weird.
Gotcha.
It's not like I had sex with the first girl I fell in love with.
Right.
That would have been good, but no.
Right, like that's okay.
So I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. And so you said that it wasn't until like the year following that you come out?
Yeah.
Okay. So tell me about that.
Okay. Well, I was actually dating one of the football players, believe that or not, right?
What?
I even come across his picture the other day. Anyway,
that's
funny. I dated a football player. And had a crazy crush on a field hockey player across the hall. Mm-hmm. And I just loved her. She was so nice to me. Her name's Karen Freibert, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I was just crazy mad in love with her. And I think that's kind of when it started. And I went to therapy, actually. I went to a therapist and talked about it.
Really? What was the therapist reaction? Because... I mean, I'm not sure the therapist of that time period was
gay. I didn't know that's what the conversation was about. Say again?
Yeah. I was just saying that, like, you know, I'm not really sure what, like, therapists, like, during that time period would be saying in response to something like that. So I'm just curious, like, what response did you get when you're like, hey, I have these feelings or whatever?
Oh, no, she told me before I told her. She said, it's okay to be gay. I'm like, what you're talking about. Yeah, I didn't. I mean,
she just like identified you basically.
Yeah, she absolutely did. Absolutely did. And she had been a therapist to one of my cousins who recommended her. God, I wish I could remember her name. She's pretty well known in the area.
Oh, cool.
Great. She was great. I mean, she just kind of opened Pandora's box though, because then, you know, a bunch of my abuse stuff started coming up. But later on, I went to therapy for that. But
yeah. And so you have this obviously extremely significant sort of like therapy relationship with this therapist where you're talking about these things or whatever. Then what happens?
I don't know. Just started feeling more comfortable in my skin.
Yeah, right.
Getting out in some other ways. It was like spending money and stuff and getting in trouble money-wise. And that was one of the reasons I started seeing her. And that's when she told me it was okay to be gay. So I don't know if that was my acting out was, you know, because I wasn't addicted to other things. So that might have been my thing.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
It helped me. I mean, you know. And I've been in and out of therapy my whole life. I probably need to be in it now. I think I do. I think I'm kind of crazy. Ask anybody. I just make sure.
So tell me how you like Pandora's box. Like it's open. It's all coming out. All kinds of things are coming out. And then also the gay stuff too. But all kinds of things are coming out at this period. And you mentioned that it seems like you were suggesting that this was sort of the, I don't know, the precursor to you getting sort of like the courage to come out. And I'm wondering sort of how did that go? Like, who did you talk to? What did you say? What were the reactions?
I don't know. I was scared. So scared. I was after my sophomore year. Sophomore year in college, when I had my big crush and stuff and started having these feelings, my roommate was, she was this wonderful African-American woman that she took such good care of me, and I have no idea why she liked me. I swear I don't. You know, but she'd take my meal card and get my breakfast for me in the morning. I just lay there like a slug. And she let me move in with her for about 2 months in an efficiency apartment across from campus. God, I can't believe it. But, you know, we also lived in a room together for a year.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of when my coming out started, was there. You know, not with her, but kind of then, because she was working a lot. Gosh, I can remember music and everything from then. So, and I was playing ball. I was playing a lot of softball.
Yeah.
So, and that's how we all come together. I mean, all these people that you've talked to so far has come from us playing softball together.
Mm-hmm.
All coming out. Sally hadn't come out yet either, you know. So all about the same time, you know, Sally had a boyfriend, Mark, and, you know, she was pretending she was somebody else too. Because we, you know, we didn't know. We weren't around anybody that let us know that it was okay. You know, any gay people in my whole life were made fun of to be queer.
Right. So,
terrified for my father to find out. And he was so cool.
And oh, really?
And then,
oh.
Well, it took a while, but, you know, he didn't get the credit he deserved for my mother, for sure. Mm-hmm. But when I didn't come out to my family until my first breakup, or at least to my mother.
Oh, I see.
I was maybe 19 or something.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So timeline's about right. Yeah. So I'm like 19. I had, you know, my first fall in love and breakup. And so I thought I needed to go home because I needed my mama, you know. And I told her and she called me every crazy word and name in the book. And I left. I mean, I could go back to school. So I just left. And a couple of days went by and she called me. And she had talked to her doctor and her preacher about it.
Uh-huh.
Told her like love or a loser kind of thing. And then she became my biggest advocate. And it wasn't long after that my dad, because you know, everybody told me my dad would not react well to it either. So it probably took another year or two before I told him. And he was okay. He was okay with it. And so my brothers were all fine. I mean, one of my brothers knew about it before I did. He said, I've always known that. My oldest brother says, you know, you never know who Jesus might be. That was his response. So, I mean, my family's all been pretty cool.
Interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. My family loves me. You know, they still do.
Yeah.
Now I'm like cool Aunt Becky because, you know, I don't have as many aunts and uncles around. I'm it now. So.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so that's a lot that happens during college, basically.
Plus, I went to the Army. They're not. Yeah.
Oh, wait, really? Tell me about that.
Because I did that when we broke up, too. I'm like, well, fuck it all. I'm going to join the Army.
All right. You got to tell me about the Army.
Yeah, I dropped out of school. This was fun. Yeah, I dropped out of school. I didn't have to go back and, you know, fix all that. But I did. I got eyes and everything. So I dropped out with 6 weeks left to go. I did. So recruiter, this is funny. So them are all around about this time. So because I've got like this party apartment going on. I had my breakup and went, okay, I'm going to join the Army. And I did. The recruiter knew I was a lesbian. Out about, he even lived with me for a little while. He totally knew I was a lesbian. Not a problem. Went anyway. They don't care. They didn't care. They didn't care. So I was in the last basic training group in Fort Gordon, Georgia, that was co-ed. Or the first one that was co-ed. And probably like, yeah, the first one, I think. I don't think they did basic training after that. Anyway, in a company of 500 men, there was 9 women, and 2 of us were lesbian. So that was kind of interesting.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because you would have thought more. So not it.
That's what I thought. I was like, only 2? Are you sure? Like, are you sure about that?
Well, we were kind of open about it.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Each other, but just talking. I mean, I didn't have it. I had a girlfriend when I was in there. At least I thought I had a girlfriend. I don't think she thought she had a girlfriend. Because she had a few while I was gone, turns out.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And I seemed to be really attracted to sluts.
How old are you during this? How old are you during this phase? Like the Army and then...
Oh, 18, 19, 20.
Right. Oh, okay. It seems like a lot happens in your life during that like 18, 19, 20 range.
I can multitask. I'm not focused. I'm all over the map. I'm a Sagittarian to the core. I mean, I just...
Gotcha. Okay. And so... The Army thing, how did that kind of, how long were you doing that for? How long?
Well, I was in it. There was National Guard, so I had almost a year of active duty. So 6 years of National Guard. But that was kind of a cool time, really, because I did a lot of personal growth while I was there. So it was something I really needed to do as far as getting some confidence in myself. So it was a good thing.
I see.
It was a very positive, good thing for me. It got me on track. So,
Okay, gotcha.
And
it sounds like you had a really positive experience.
I did.
Yeah, that's great. You mentioned earlier, and actually everyone I've talked to has mentioned, you know, the softball thing. Before I get into the country stuff, I want to get into like Lexington lesbians playing softball. Tell me just about that scene and what that was like.
Lexington lesbians. Well, I mean, as like I said before, this is all kind of coming to age, finding out we're, you know, tomboys / lesbians. Because we played ball and we would meet at tournaments, usually in different cities or different little towns before we ever got here. You know, once we all came to Lexington, then, you know, the game changed because we were all here together. Instead of playing on a bunch of separate teams against each other, a lot of us began playing on the same teams together and meeting because, you know, the country wouldn't be there if it weren't for the softball players and the people who created it were softball players. You know, Gail and Joyce, they sponsored the softball team that I played on as a rookie. There was like a common denominator also with a whole lot of us. And God love her heart. She died some years ago. Peggy Willoughby seems to be, I don't know if you've heard that name, but
I've heard Peggy. I haven't heard like the last name specifically, but I've heard the name Peggy. Yeah.
She's a common thread that weaves us all together.
Okay.
You know, And I can honestly say today that it wasn't anything I'm afraid how it's going to come out when I say it. It was decadent for sure, but it wasn't anything abusive.
decadent.
But it almost seemed like she was like a recruiter.
Wait, was she older than you all? You
mean? Yeah.
She
would be my mother, pretty much, and everybody else's. Her daughter is just a couple of years younger than me. It's Tina Whitby. I don't know if you've got to talk to her, but yeah, her mom kind of pulled us all together because she would see us all playing softball when we were like little tomboys. You know, so that she's like, point your finger. Yeah, that one over there is going to be one.
Oh my gosh. Like identifying. Yeah.
And she swung all different ways. I mean, you know, she's totally definition of fluid.
Yeah. Was this.
Like the other direction.
Yeah. Was her. Are you. It seems like you're somewhat suggesting that her. Some of aspect of her interest in you all was kind of like dubious in some way. Or am I reading you wrong?
I don't know that dubious is the right. Okay. No. I mean. No, because she didn't make any advances towards any of us that I'm aware of. I mean, she didn't make any, but it was almost like introducing us to a lifestyle all together in a way. And she did. I mean, she did bring us all together. And I'm grateful for that. I mean, today she might be identified as some kind of a weird pedophile with young, I don't know, young tomboys, but so would a lot of other softball coaches from the day, you know, and they wouldn't be labeled that way because they weren't lesbians like Peggy Ball. I mean, Peggy Ball and Helen Gilkerson, and there was a lot of other women coaches back then that they would recognize, you know, most of us that were tomboys were good athletes. You know, you didn't see the sissies out there playing ball. Today, it's a whole lot harder. I mean, I wouldn't be able to tell the difference with anybody playing softball because all the sissy girls are playing now.
I was actually about to ask you that. Like, was it all tomboys on, or mostly, or all tomboys on the?
Yes, it would be a rare thing. And then even in my, you know, I played ball up into my 30s or so. I mean, even then, it would be there might be one straight person on the team, like a token.
The token straight.
Right. And I don't think you could say that today, but I don't know. I mean, you know, the world has changed a whole lot in my lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all of us kind of getting to come out and be who we are.
Right. Yeah. That's actually.
We shouldn't have any labels at all anyway.
Tell me more about that.
Well, I mean, you know, it goes back to me being that tomboy in the tree and playing with the cars in the street. I mean, why would I need to be labeled at all?
Mm-hmm.
Like climbing trees and playing in the dirt.
Mm-hmm.
Wearing t-shirts and blue jeans. How does that make me anything besides just Becky?
Just like existing. Yeah. Living, basically. Yeah.
That's who I am today. You know, yeah. I've worked backwards to be authentic. People keep trying to change it from the beginning, from the minute you're born, you know, take away your authenticity. So.
Yeah, it sounds like, it sounds like you're saying your most authentic sense of self is, you know, like the person in playing in the trees and the dirt and just kind of like, I don't know, just being yourself essentially seems to be.
Well, honey, I knew we were having this interview and I did not dress up for you. I don't have any makeup. I got on a t-shirt and a sports bra.
That's the life. That is the life.
This is who I am.
So with the softball, were there multiple teams and you would play against each other? Oh. It froze for a second, sorry.
In softball, were there multiple teams, something you said?
Yeah. I was asking, were there multiple teams that you would play against each other? And were, like, the other teams lesbians, too? Or tomboys?
Yeah, we were from everywhere. Softball was huge then. It's nothing like it is now.
Because I never hear about it now, the way you all talk about it. Yeah.
It was a lifestyle, for sure.
Yeah.
And the one team I played on towards the end is the Pavers, and that's the ones that you've probably talked to the most is either from the rookies or the Pavers, really. And they were all school teachers, so they didn't have, you know, they didn't have jobs in the summertime either. So, you know, and we played several times a week.
Uh-huh.
We're the best team in town, so we had to play out of town. We played in New Albany, and we played in Cincinnati. And yeah, I mean, they were very good. I mean, there's women from then that are in the Softball Hall of Fame. And, you know, there wouldn't be what there is now without us doing that. You know, Sally and I played, we were on the UK softball team. And back then we had to buy our own uniforms. They gave us
Oh, you were on the UK team. Oh, okay.
We started it.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't be those opportunities. So it was great. And again, it was all before Title IX. So we went through the women's movement too, you know, in our lifetime.
Yeah. I was going to ask you about that actually too, in terms of like just your awareness at the time of that, your involvement in that, if there was involvement in terms of just like whether it was actions or ideas, you know, whatever. I just wanted to ask you.
You're in the women's movement.
Yeah.
He's in high school, so like 1972. I had a teacher that I was telling my brother this the other day because we were talking about school and our teachers, and I had this one teacher that, again, and I didn't get it until later on. She's another teacher that saw something in me that I didn't know that I had. And she gave me a button once that it was called Uppity Women Unite. And I didn't know what the fuck that meant. And I'm really sure, not real sure I know what it meant now. but it'd be about the same time that my mother and her sister took me to get fitted for a bra. Or I didn't wear bras, you know, or if I felt subconscious, I had on a sweatshirt. So about the time I started wearing a bra, that harness thing, everybody else started burning them. So I told you I was doing it right all along.
Yeah.
So anyway, I mean, that was kind of cool. And like, I was like a freshman, sophomore in high school when she gave me that. Yeah, I was a freshman in high school when she gave me that button. And I don't know if she was basing that on mannerisms or appearance or whatever came out of my mouth. I don't know, because I've always just said it. So.
Yeah. Another related question, you mentioned that if it weren't for the softball sort of like community that you all had, that the country wouldn't have happened. And so I just wanted to ask you what you know about sort of the, from your perspective and your knowledge, what you know about the origins of the country, as in how that idea happened or how it became, you know, an actual establishment and so on.
Well, I remember the conversations going on because I was around Gail and Joyce because of Peggy, mainly. If I was hanging out at Peggy's house, then I would be going there, kind of hanging out with them. And I remember hearing conversations about it because I wasn't old enough to go, nor was all these other people. But I think I had membership card like number 3. It was. I don't remember even drinking. I don't think it wasn't about drinking at all. It was about hanging out and dancing and playing pool. I've never been a big drinker, so that's not ever been anything that's appealed to me anyway. Mm-hmm. So that's never been my purpose for that. But I didn't want to miss a night, you know, as it kept going, because, you know, we went through disco time and there was I'm like a dance voyeur. I wish I could dance like people I like to watch. But, you know, I had some friends, and they're still my friends today, at least one of them is. Just coming in there and dancing to disco music with a bar full of girls that you play softball with. You know, that was kind of cool. Because it was so different, because we got dressed up too. I mean, this was like 3-piece suits with vest and all that stuff, hats, all that. That phase, like John Travolta kind of outfit. I don't know. It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun.
Here, I'll give you some direction. So do you remember, I mean, this is kind of a hard question, but do you have any memory of sort of like the first time that you went there? And it's okay if you don't, but I wanted to check on that first. Even if it's just like you remember a feeling and not really a distinct.
Yeah, moment. I can for sure remember a feeling. It's totally, yeah. I mean, it was really exciting. you know, it felt a relief. I'm grateful to this day that those two women took that on, you know, to do that. Cause it was kind of a bold move too. I mean, plus, I mean, you saw where it was.
Right.
It was hidden. It was, no, become the hidden door later.
Right. You know? Literally.
Yeah. Well, literally. You didn't know where it was unless you knew where it was. So you had to be a member to get in. And that's where the membership cards came from. You know, you bought a membership card. Okay. And that's probably how they might have got around having, I don't remember there ever being like police hassling anybody about drinking. I remember hearing some other people say that night when we were there, but I don't remember that.
Yeah, it seems like different people sort of, I guess because maybe different people were there on different nights remember sort of different things. Yeah.
Yeah, and whether you were on the back porch, you know, some people hang out on the back porch. But, you know, that was, plus it was, you know, like it was kind of a secret place. You'd see all these women coming in and out of there. So, you know, other businesses or establishments around there had their own ideas.
Right.
I never had any encounters with anybody that was violent or anything at all.
Yeah. So I have some follow-up questions. So in terms of, because you mentioned, oh, you know, there's always these women going in and out of this place, this hidden place. I wanted to ask you about sort of the demographics in terms of, was there like a general age group of people that went there, or was it all ages?
To me, we were all about the same age. Okay. You know? So I'm thinking everybody was between like, well, how Julie Smoke was sneaking in there when she was like 15. She was sneaking in my house when she was 15.
Oh, yeah, she was sneaking.
Yeah, I would.
I remember.
I would come home from class and there would be half of Lafayette High School in my apartment. You know, like, and I was in college, so I was a couple of years older than a few of them. Yeah, they'd all be in my house. They'd be skipping school. So, yeah, Julie kind of ran away from home and ended up in my house, I think. Mm-hmm. Like the halfway house or something. I don't know. It was everything in my life, and I would say most all the people then too revolved around softball.
Yeah, right.
100%.
Yeah, all about the softball. It does come up almost every time in these interviews. Like, one person wasn't that into it, but everyone else was.
There were fans. There were fans in the stands that didn't play.
Yeah.
They came to watch us look for a girlfriend that played softball. Because, you know, we were cute and we had good uniforms and, you know, we were fun. Mm-hmm. So, no, it was. That's what it was all about.
Yeah, right. But,
it's not like going to, you know, like the bar downtown, you know, the Joy's place. It's not the same, you know.
Tell me how it's different, because I'm interested in that. How was it different?
That wasn't our bar.
Yeah.
It's Joy Bar. Or a lot of straight people go there. But, you know, and I've known, I've known Joy for many, many years. And the other thing is, like, what do lesbians have in common with the drag queen? Nothing. Nothing. You know, we don't have anything in common with gay boys other than we're both gay. Otherwise, we have nothing. If it weren't for AIDS, we probably wouldn't even like each other at all, because that's kind of when the lesbians and the gay men started coming together as a community. You know, we were very separated. We didn't have a thing in common.
I'm really genuinely like, this is the kind of stuff I'm really interested in. So that's why I'm kind of like looking at you and just like not saying anything. But what I wanted to ask some follow-up questions about that, of course. So what is it, because I see what you're saying, I just want to know for the benefit of the interview, what is it about your experiences that you feel are so like different from each other? What is it that forms that difference between, say, like you all and then say a group of gay men going to the bar complex? What sort of, I understand what you're saying, but just for the interview, sort of what is it that makes it different? You know, the different experiences.
It's kind of like the sissy boys in high school. It's kind of, you know, they're funny to listen to. I like going to drag queen bingo because they're fun. You don't see drag queens getting ready, but the gay boys sitting at the bar are just fun listening to them. You know, anything they say, they've got something funny to say about it. So that's fun. You know, so to me, gay guys are funny, you know, and I've not been real close to a whole lot of gay men. A few, you know, a few through different fellowship programs I've been involved in. And then like AIDS, I told you, I had several friends that I lost to AIDS, and those are very close to. But otherwise, I mean, I've never really hung out with gay men at all.
And speaking of men, did you ever see any men at the country or just never any men?
I do not remember seeing men there. Gotcha. You know, I have a sense that there was, but it wasn't anybody threatening, because there was a couple of the girls that had brothers, you know, that, you know, like Patty Howard's brother, Jack, he was always around the ballpark. What else was it? There was a couple of guys that were like Dusty Haller, you know, they're, and hell, Dusty's probably been living with AIDS longer than anybody you've ever met. And he's still alive. And it's all been going on since way back then.
Wow. Yeah.
But it, you know, even those guys have been younger than me. So for them to come into a bar, they'd be more likely to get into a boy bar than a girl bar underage.
Right. Another follow-up question for you. So, and different people give different answers for this question again. So there's no right or wrong answer. Did you ever hear anyone talk about or identify as butch or femme or use those kind of words? Yeah. And how often? Tell me about it.
I still do. Mm-hmm. All the time. I mean.
Yeah. Tell me about it then, though. Tell me about it then.
Well, I mean, it was, I'd say like myself and most of the people would be pretty androgynous as far as butch femme thing goes. But I mean, just before I came out, I suppose, it was kind of the role to play, you know, that the one was a butch and one was a femme kind of thing. And some people still like to do that kind of role play. And I see it as role play, you know, and looking back on it now, I still think it was role play. Because I know some of those very same people that do not play roles like that anymore at all. You know, but I do. I know somebody who was a school teacher and out in the public all the time. But when she came out, she was very, very butch. But she was not like that in the daytime. But that was kind of the way it was back years ago, it seemed like. And there was another couple I remember. They were very much a butch film thing. Jenny, just had her name on my tongue, and Charlotte Vice. Jenny and Charlotte, because Charlotte was the film, and she would be all like dresses and real makeup and real flamboyant, and Jenny was full suit, vest, hat. I mean, anything but that. On maybe she did have space. Yeah, I remember them coming to the country dressed like that every time they came out.
Okay, I see. And was that kind of, I mean, I get a sense from you what your answer is going to be, but again, for the benefit of the interview, was butch or femme anything you ever ascribed to, or was that not really, you know, your thing personally?
Well I have people that refer to me as being butch, but I never think of myself like that. Because again, I think of myself as a tomboy, you know, and being androgynous and self-sufficient. I don't think that means I'm butch. Because I feel that I've been, this is not my first rodeo around this life cycle thing. And every one of my lifetimes, I feel like I've always been a woman. I've never wanted to be otherwise. I mean, the only kind of male envy I have is that they make more money and it's easier for them to pee.
Fair.
And that's about it. I mean, there's nothing, sometimes the strength part, But otherwise, I've never, ever wanted to be a man, ever. Yeah. I don't feel like I've ever been a man in any of my lifetime. Mm-hmm. So I don't think of myself as a bitch. But some of the real femme girls that have had like crushes on me think I'm really butch, and they like that. But I and if they call me that, it kind of, I don't know if it offends me, but I guess it kind of sort of does, because I don't think about myself that way. Even though I've got this butch haircut going on, I still think of myself as a tomboy.
I understand. And another follow-up question. Tell me what you remember about the way the country looked inside, as in sort of like the room itself, any sort of features, lights, colors, furniture, just whatever you remember. Like, you walk in, what do you see?
You walk in the door.
Yeah, you walk in the door.
First thing you see, the pool table's on the left. And you kind of go through another little door, and there's the bar. You know, it's a pretty good-sized bar with little tables around it, and then you go into another room outside of that. It's like the three rooms were almost connected, and that was the dance floor. And then there was a place you could go out the back door from the dance floor and through the bar. So, and there was bathrooms on the bar side. And it seemed like maybe there was a bathroom on the dance floor on the left coming in. I could just about see it. And I remember the table sitting around the sides of it. And most of them were like the little, you know, just like any bar, little round tables. But they weren't bar stools. They were low table, you know, a low table and chairs.
Oh, okay. Yeah, right. I appreciate the detail. Yeah.
We had, and then of course it was disco, so there was disco lights.
Right.
It was dark, and there was a light over the pool table. I love playing pool there. It was great. They had a lot of pool tournaments and really pulled us all into it. It was great. I wouldn't miss a night of that. And I wish I was as good at that today as I was back then. At least I thought I was good. I look good playing it. Because, you know, I had my three-piece suit on. Like, cool.
Yeah.
Wanting to look all good in disco days.
So walk me through a typical night at the country, as in a typical night for you, as in, are you getting ready to go? Are you going like with friends? Are you going alone? And you get there, what happens? What would like a typical night there be like? What would that journey be like, you know?
I'm trying to remember. I'm thinking it would be that we meet there. I don't remember us going necessarily in the same car. Okay. It seems like we would meet there. And did dressed up. I mean, it was a get dressed up and go out.
Yeah, get dressed up. And how? Well, I mean, you kind of mentioned it a minute ago, but how would you dress up? What would you usually wear?
Like in a white three-piece suit.
Yeah. Oh, white. Ooh, yeah. Cool.
Yeah, with a vest and everything. You know.
Cool.
Oh yeah, I've got pictures. This was more portable. I would take you to them.
Yeah. I might.
My hair was longer. My hair then, because I cut my hair from being really long when I was a sophomore. So that was kind of part of my coming out.
You know, right.
I cut it up shorter, but it was still on my shoulders. You know, I hadn't made it this far. It took a long time to get this far.
Yeah, it was an evolution.
right. Yeah. back to the very beginning, really. So...
So you meet people there, you get dressed up.
Yeah. And it seemed like we all smoked pot.
So That's come up.
Yeah, we all smoked pot, so that was a part of it. And so was, there was other drugs too. My experience with drugs was not so much. I did Quaaludes, because I got picked up at the pool table once, and she said, "You would look really good driving my car." Like, well, what kind of car do you have? You know, because, you know, I was that sassy. So it was, and she had this really cool little sports car, and we went for a ride, and she gave me a half a Quaalude, and I didn't find my way home for 3 days. So,
but that, oh, wow.
Yeah. We had a lot of fun that summer.
Oh, no.
Oh, there's lots of stories.
Yeah, you all got up to some stuff back then.
Yeah. And we did. I mean, it was, I don't know, it was a lot of fun. It was a whole lot of fun. And yeah. I'm so grateful it was a part of my life. You made me smile.
Yeah.
Good, been good to remember all those things. But it was. It was all around softball, every bit of it. And I hated it when it failed, because, like, there was, I'm not sure why it failed. Honestly, I don't know what happened to where it, I don't know what happened when the bar closed.
Yeah. I mean, different people have kind of suggested different things. A lot of people were just like, I don't know. Some people suggested it was that the owners, like, toward the end of the country when it was the Hidden Door, that they no longer were, like that they broke up and didn't want to, like, own or run this bar together anymore. But it's been very unclear sort of why it went away.
Well, that was an evolution from the very beginning.
Yeah, yeah.
There was that going on from the very beginning, you know. That,
yeah.
Yeah, it was Gail and Joyce, and then Gail stepped out on Joyce with, I think it was JC, and then it was Gail, Joyce, and JC, and then Ellen got in there somehow, and then I think in the end it was JC and Ellen that owned it, and then Gretchen got involved in there. Maybe she was just the bartender, mm-hmm. but I don't know. I don't remember, like, when the doors closed. So I don't know if we lost interest or just mm-hmm. got shitty, or, you know, what led us a different direction. But clearly we traveled in packs.
Yeah. And so two quick questions. How long did you go to the country for? As in, like, did you, like, was it like a year? Was this 2 years? Was it just a few months? Like, how long do you feel like?
It was years. It was years. For sure. I don't remember when it closed, though. I know.
Yeah. From what I know, 82, sometime in 82.
It wasn't open very long then.
No, it really wasn't. Right? It's weird.
A whole lot of things happened in a couple of years.
It really did. Yeah, I'm kind of surprised by that. Do you remember? Oh, because I think you mentioned it before. You remember the name change to the Hidden Door, I'm assuming, right?
Yeah.
Did you remember any idea about why did that name change happen?
Well, the ownership changed.
Sorry. Oh, the ownership. Yeah.
The ownership changed. So, the ownership changed. So that would have, that, you know, and really that was a very appropriate name. I don't know where the country even came from.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And another question. So were there ever any, I know you all have the disco music and the pool tables, and then there is the back porch and just, like, talking and drinking. Were there ever any other kind of events that took place there, like live music or, like, meetings of any kind?
They had live music some. It wasn't a lot, but I remember having some of it. I can see in the corner where it was. And honestly, I can't even remember who was doing any of the entertainment.
Right. Was it women's musician? Like women's music? Women's music?
I'm sure it was. I'm sure
right.
It was.
I'm thinking it would be. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure. I bet. I'm sure Rita probably played there. Okay. I mean, but I honestly, I don't remember, because I probably wasn't that interested in it. I was looking at who was dancing.
Right. And do you have any recollection of, like, what days it was open? Was it open, like, every day, or was it only on the weekends? Do you have any recollection?
It seemed like, to me, it was open every day. To me, yeah. Sunday. To me, it seemed like I went there every day.
Right. Gotcha.
I know I didn't miss a night.
Yeah. Would you stay until closing, usually, or would you leave before then?
Depends.
Right, true.
It depends on how it went. Yeah.
Oh, and in terms of people who went there, was it usually people who were single or people who were, because I know you mentioned a couple earlier, were there a lot of couples there? What sort of was the single couple distribution like?
I think we were all single and all couple at one point or another.
Okay, so it was always changing, maybe.
Yeah, there might have been a little swapping out going on every now and then. Mm-hmm. You know, because again, we're young, we're dating, I guess. You know, we were straight people, it would be pretty common to be dating around like that.
Yeah.
Just so happened our dating pool was us.
Yeah, right. And another small question, do you remember, I wanted to ask about racial demographics, as in most people I've talked to have said that it was like a mostly white sort of crowd that was there. What's your recollection of that?
There were very few African American girls that came there. I can probably count three. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That seems to be what most people have suggested. Either there's like one or two, something like that. Yeah. Okay.
And you know, it was again, you know, the ball players. So there wasn't a whole lot of African American ball players either.
Oh, I see.
Not in the leagues that we played in, anyway. Yeah, so that was part of it.
Yeah.
Any sport, for that matter. I mean, and you know, in high school back then, there wasn't a whole lot of African Americans that played sports.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I played high school basketball. There were two.
Okay. And let's see. I'm trying to see if there's any other. I mean, I have more questions. I just want to make sure, like, I don't have any more sort of fine detail questions.
But that race thing, keep in mind that when I started high school was when segregation started. I mean, ended.
Mm-hmm. Right. Things were very, like,
segregation. Yeah. Because busing and all that stuff happened. So, you know, that was going on, too. So there was a whole lot of changes. But say, in my lifetime, there's been a whole lot of social changes.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Okay, a few more follow-up questions. One, a couple of people I've talked to mentioned sort of house parties, as in, like, after the country, maybe they'd go to someone's house and the party would continue.
Yeah.
Right. I was gonna ask, do you remember that? You know, what do you know about that?
Yeah. Well, I had a party house. I mean, my house was a party house. And
okay, yeah.
And when you were asking about events, they used to have Halloween parties that were really cool. I remember that.
Halloween parties. Cool. Yeah, I didn't know that.
And at the bar too, you know, the Halloween.
They love Halloween at the bar.
Yeah. And same thing with New Year's. So both the country and the bar would have New Year's and Halloween parties. So yeah, that was fun.
Oh, cool. You are the first person.
One of my girlfriends like that. So.
Yeah. Okay. Neat. You're the first person to mention that. So that's awesome. I remember one other thing. I remember you mentioned that, you know, the country was kind of like your all's bar. And then, you know, some of these other bars, like, you know, the bar complex, it wasn't really like, you know, it's fine, but it wasn't really like your place necessarily. Right. And I just wanted to ask, were there any other bars that you did sort of frequent during this time period? Or was it mostly, you know, the country?
Well, primarily the country, yes.
Primarily,
on occasion, we would go down to, like, the bar. And then I think after the country and stuff closed, we went to, I'm trying to remember my time frames. Maybe the country was still open. Or right around in there. There was a bar in Dayton I went to that stayed open until 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. And then there was an after-hours place here where O'Neill's is now. It was a circus. So there was after-hours there. There was quite a few gay bars around back then. Anyway, you know, or that came up shortly thereafter. There was, I don't remember their names. I was asking Bob that same one because there was a bar downtown on the second floor of a building. I can't remember which one. It was on Main Street. I can't remember the name of it at all. And I'm pretty sure I was messed up one way or another when I went. Because I just remember a little bit about it. And I'm wondering Phoenix or Odyssey or something like that. And then there was another women's bar on Main Street that didn't last very long either. It was on the second floor.
Do you remember what that one was called?
I'm trying to remember. I can remember the one. You know, I can't remember the name of it.
Yeah. What? Where was it at least? On Main Street?
That's not there any. That building's not there anymore because that would be where the new hotels are. It was on the corner of Lime and Main.
That's interesting. Yeah.
But there used to be, you know, pawn shop there. And what was the name of it? There was a little cafe that was there. And then a bar right on the top floor, and I can't remember the name of it. But all of these were short and sweet, you know, they didn't last very long when you think back on it.
Right.
You've got, I mean, having memories that I hadn't thought about in a long time, so sorry, I don't have better
memories. No, you've legitimately told me a couple of different things I haven't heard before, so you are on point.
I am full of a lot of information.
All right, so the country, or I guess it becomes the hidden door, but the country, you know, closes sometime in 82. And I kind of know it's coming up, but what's happening? What happens in your life from that point sort of onward? What happens next, essentially?
Oh, for me then.
Yeah, for you.
Probably why I wasn't paying attention to it. I continued to play softball, but I met a girl.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, so I had a girlfriend. So I met, you know, and, but the country was still open. So let's back up. Hang on. Mm. So I went to basic training, and I had this new girlfriend when I went to basic training. Because, you know, I broke up with one and joined the Army, and in between I met somebody. So, you know, police horse. And so she was going to the country while I was in the basic training. And then when I came out, yeah, because then it's hard for us to go together because she done screwed everybody in the bar. And then we moved away. We moved to, I know she was still in college in Richmond. So we moved to Richmond. We moved to Lancaster for a while. And then, but I quit going to bars. I still played ball, but I didn't go to bars anymore because I had a girlfriend. And we didn't go to bars, pretty much.
Right. That makes sense. And earlier you mentioned, and this, I'll have to be aware that this might be hard for you to talk about. You mentioned sort of lesbians, tomboys, and gay men coming together during sort of the ascent of AIDS in the U.S. And you mentioned that was something that sort of brought people together in some way because obviously, you know, it's so terrible. And I was just sort of curious to know a little bit more about that coming together.
Yeah. Look, you know, those boys didn't have anybody else. Mm-hmm. Nobody to take care of them, you know. Nurses in the hospital didn't want to touch them. Everybody was afraid, you know. And these are young men terrified with a horrible disease that's killing them. And they're sick, you know. They're scared. They're sick, and you know, we're lesbians, but we're lesbians because we're women, you know. And woman, you have compassion to help somebody. I mean, I think we're all aware of that one. You know, we all have that mothering kind of caregiving nature, no matter how butch or tomboy or whatever you want to call it, you might be, mm-hmm. you know, you probably find a more compassionate person that way than you would some sassy bitch. But anyway, we did. I mean, we took care of the guys.
Yeah.
Nobody else would. And you know, there's one of my exes has been a champion for AIDS all over the country and raised, you know, all kinds of money and made a difference. Her brother died of AIDS, you know, and he was very wealthy and she inherited his wealth and put it to use. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's been, her name is Ruth Tittle. She lives here in town and was also part of the country. I met her at the country. She was my girlfriend for, you know, 14 years.
Oh, yeah.
And we met there. She's still good friends with Gail and luckily I almost called her to see if she wanted to do this with me.
Oh, that would have been cool.
I know, we could have had a Zoom party.
I'd be up for that.
We could have a softball Zoom party.
That actually kind of leads me to another question I want to ask, which is, you know, the country closes, years and years go by. To what extent have you kept in touch with people that you met at the country or people that, you know, used to go to the country with you? How have you kept in touch?
Near as enough as I want. You know, Facebook has been a help with that, you know, because we can see each other on Facebook. And then, you know, and any time we talk, I mean, it's kind of like it reminds us of those days because we don't know anything about each other in between, pretty much, you know. And I mean, so many, I would love to have a country bar. I'd love for us to have, I think if more people had known about that evening, you know, I don't know how you would put it out there. I mean, I told some people through Facebook about it. But it'd be so awesome to have an event like that. And anybody I've talked to kind of said the same thing. You know, COVID killed everything for us.
Yeah, COVID definitely made it hard. I mean, COVID's why these are like over Zoom, you know? COVID has definitely taken a toll.
I mean, we might be able to do something where we could go to Shillitoe Park and have a Phillies Classic, you know, get together.
Yeah, that's an idea. That's an idea for sure. Yeah.
Because there's still softball. It's just not like it was with us. And in Taylor, there's a few people's names that has to be identified for sure that made it so special. And it was Earlene Huckleberry. She was with the city. So she was the woman that oversaw the parks and recreation thing. She's what made softball such a success here at the time. And then Susie Boone followed her. I was a bigger fan of Huck's than I was Susie's, but either way, both of them had amazing softball here, and it's not ever been like that since, ever, you know. Yeah. It was amazing. I mean, now there's, I think there's a few, two, three, four teams maybe that play out at Athens that play slow pitch. I know there's one girl like a year or two younger than me that still gets out there and like a crazy person and tries to play. But, anyway. It was. Softball was probably, I don't know, 70% of the people I know in my life was from playing softball.
Yeah, yeah. It sounds like that's the case for a lot of the people I've been talking to. And, okay, we're moving into the last couple questions at this point. Just give you the heads
already?
Up. Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, there's still, don't worry. These could take a while still, so don't worry. But you actually kind of touched on this earlier. I wanted to ask you, you know, thinking about Kentucky in general during, you know, the kind of the time of the country, so late 70s, early 80s, and Kentucky now, what's the difference between the two? What are the differences? What are the similarities? How have things changed or not changed, you know, in your perspective, you know, between these two points in time?
Oh, well, current day.
Yeah, current day and, like, country.
Politically, it's kind of scary because, you know, we've just come out of a you know, 4 years of apocalypse. So, you know, the pulse of where we are, I mean, it seems like the people my age group have come so far and worked so hard to be a part of all of us being able to be who we are without labels. Actually, you know, this it doesn't make sense to me, and I'm trying to figure it out. My daughter's trying to tell me, but I don't get it. I've spent most of my lifetime referring to my partner as a partner, you know, or, you know, my life mate, or my, you know, I've never been able to say my wife, my girlfriend, you know, my fiance, her, you know, it's always been they and them, and being very obtuse about who significant other. I mean, why would I have to call it anything? You know, and today, that's exactly what everybody wants them to say. Well,
that's true, yeah.
I want you to call me, refer to me as him, they, and nobody, and I identify as a transsexual gay man. I don't know what any of that means. And I have a great niece that's going through that very thing, and she's putting all this stuff out here on Facebook. And I'm like, I have no idea what the fuck you're talking about. Other than just be you, you know, just be you. It's okay to love whoever you love. Just be you. So is that? I think the world's better about that. I do. I think the whole world's better about that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kentucky, I don't know that Kentucky as culture has made any leaps and bounds about any kind of acceptance from anybody, because we kind of are the white boy redneck state of the world. No. So as long as you stay in a city, you know, if you're Lexington or Louisville, it's usually not so bad, but once you sneak off of that, then you can kind of response. But I'm at the lake a lot. You know, that's where I spend most of my time these days. And most everybody knows me. They certainly recognize my boat. It might have a pride flag on it. So
that's amazing. I love that.
Right. That I have a boat or that I have a pride flag?
The pride flag with the boat.
Oh, and my dog. I mean, everybody knows my dog too. So
okay.
He's more popular than I am for sure.
Okay. Well, I've definitely got a few more. This could be hard to pinpoint, but do you have a favorite memory of the country or just a memory that you tend to think of when you think about the country, or whether it's a specific event or like a feeling or, you know, what's sort of like that thing that you go back to when you think of it?
Oh, I'm happy. That meant total happiness. I mean, that was just a happy place for a happy time. It was fun. I mean, there was a lot of things, you know, I think going on psychically that might have been confusing for me just because of my age and all the rest of us. But, you know, we had a good time. I had a lot of fun. You know, like I said, the pool, the dancing. I wasn't a dancer unless really did drag me out there. And I'm still like that. I'm real self-conscious about it. Mm. And I'm not because I know I can move better than some people I see. But anyway, it is. Everything I think about it is happy things. I only had a couple. There was only a couple events I had out there that was not so much a happy thing. And that's just because my other half got drunk or high or something and left me there and had to walk on. So there was a couple of those events.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, otherwise, I mean, when you say that, my first thought is fun and happy. It made me feel good. It was a good thing. And, you know, it was a good thing that those two women took that on to you know.
Yeah.
And for the other two for getting involved in it. So.
Right. Fair. Yeah. And do you, no one has had any yet, but do you have any photos of the country? No. Or in it. No. Yeah, no one has them.
No. Not that I can think of. I mean, unless I cross one, I'm like the archives of photographs from my family. So I've got tons of photographs.
Yeah, check out the archive if you have the time.
I'll let you know. I'll get a hold of you. But not that I know of. Of course, you know, there were cell phones back then.
Yeah, and then also, I mean, it doesn't seem like, you know, not everyone would like want their picture to be taken there necessarily. You know, people have these different, you know, jobs and concerns, obviously. So I don't really estimate that I'll end up finding a photo of it, but I always ask just in case, because it would be cool to have a picture of this.
It would totally be cool.
It really would. Yeah.
But not to my memory, and I don't have one.
No, that makes sense to me. And how did you first hear about this project? Because I'm kind of trying to remember that.
You called me.
I just called you about it, and that was when you first learned about it. Gosh, yeah, I think, that was a long time ago.
It was.
Oh, no.
I'm like, she's a stalker. I don't know who she is.
No.
Because it might have been through, like, Connie Harrison or something.
I think it was. Yeah, because she gave me a lot of names. And she was the first interview I did. So I think that's how that happened. Oh, and yeah. I remember calling people and just being like, oh, like, you know, I'm the stranger and I'm calling you about, like, you know, this women's bar. It's just, you know, a whole thing. Do you remember what you thought when you learned about the project?
I didn't know what it was about. Honestly, I didn't know what it was about until I went that night, and you know, and I'm all I know is that you're doing some history on it. That's all I really know about it now.
Yeah, I mean that's the whole thing. Basically, I mean the archive that hosted that event, the Faulkner Morgan Archive, they collect all the gay Kentucky stuff, and they realize that their collection is mostly men, obviously, and so they were like, hey, we need to get some women in here.
Because we're not the boys club.
Right. And they knew about me because, like, I'm doing a gender studies PhD at UK. I focus on history of sexuality. I focus on lesbians. And I've done a lot of oral history stuff before. And so they were just like, hey, like, do you want to be our interviewer? And let's go get grant money to do this and all of that. So that's how that happened. Just sort of to correct the record, because it really is mostly, you know, a lot of the recorded gay history stuff, it really is men, and it's not because women weren't doing things, it's just that, you know how it is.
People didn't talk about it,
you know? Yeah. Like,
the one girlfriend I referred to, I had one of my mother had four sisters, and they were all very tight, I mean, like they talked every day. So I grew up with some very influential women in my life, and they were all very independent, strong. And my aunt, her name was Thelma, but they all had nicknames. So hers was Dids. And she said this about Ruth. She said, if I was younger, I'd take her away from you. Her and her husband slept in separate beds. They had twin beds. And you talk about somebody butch. I mean, she
really?
And but she's about the butchest woman I've ever seen in my life. And she could do anything. You know, she could. She'd reach her hand up in a hole in a creek and pull a turtle out. I mean,
wow.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and we'd come to her house for dinner because my grandfather lived with her, her dad. And so every Sunday we'd come up there, and she'd have, it was out in the farm, and she said, well, you kids get out one of those chickens, and she'd catch it and wring its neck, and we'd chase the rest of her.
Oh my gosh.
And cook it for dinner. Yeah. I mean,
that's amazing.
Yeah, she was a badass. Talking about Butch, she was it.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Any kind of farm, you know, woman that works on a farm, you would identify them as Butch the way they do things, you know,
because yeah, they're
strong and have to do stuff.
True.
They're not doing their nails.
True.
Yeah. But when you said that thing about, you know, like the boys' history, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I mean, case in point about bars.
Yeah. You know,
Joey's had his bar all these years, and the girls' bars don't last. Women aren't going to put money in a bar like men do, you know?
Yeah. I do think some of it's about money.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Women don't go to titty bars, you know?
True.
I mean, I have, but, you know.
Right. We
don't give them our paycheck like a guy does, you know? A guy go give a woman at a titty bar his whole paycheck for a lap dance. I mean, women aren't going to do that. I mean, that's stupid. If we go, it's because we're drunk and we want to have a good time. You know. It is. Yeah. You know, if there's a social economic thing about it, I believe, especially maybe it's in this part of the country. I don't know if it's like that everywhere.
That's a point too. I have wondered that. Although I will say, I just feel like most places I've ever been, there's no like women's or lesbian bar. You know, it's usually like a mixed gay bar that's mostly men. That's usually what I've encountered. Obviously, I'm like, my context is like the past, like I'm 30, so the past 30 years is my context. But yeah, it's interesting. That's for sure.
Well, have you watched the L Word?
Not the new reboot, like not the new season, but the like original L Word seasons. I've seen all of them. Yeah,
I don't know any women like that.
Yeah,
you know, if that's a culture thing, you know, I've never met women like that here.
Yeah, so
if there's that demographic of women here, I want to know which bar they're going to, because I want to go see them.
Yeah, let's go.
You know, where are girls? I'm single. I'm ready. It's taken me this long to get ready.
Yeah, no, for sure.
4 years was a long time. It took a minute to detach. Our daughter is your age.
Oh, really? Oh, cool. Yeah,
she's a molecular biologist. She just turned 31.
Oh, she must be smart.
A smart nerd, yes.
Yeah. This isn't my last question yet, but I wanted to check in. Is there anything else you want to mention, either in general or about the country, something I haven't asked about, something, some memory that's popped up that you haven't gotten to like say yet? I'll give you a second to, you know, think, but is there just anything else that's going around in your head that you want to sort of get into the historical record, you know, about that time period, about being gay in that time period, about being a tomboy in that time period, about the country, you know, whatever, basically.
No. I guess it was a place that made me feel like it was okay to be who I was, you know, because it wasn't like that anywhere else in my life. You know, that group of friends, because we also had kind of an exclusive group of us softball players that delivered flowers for this girl. This is all at the same time, you know, it's the same period, same age.
Yeah.
She had a pretty good business. Her name was Kane Newbert, and she went to the bar. Have you heard her name?
What was the name again?
Kay Newbert.
I have not heard that name. No, I haven't. Not yet.
Yeah.
Not until now.
Yeah, and she's a little bit older than me, and I don't know what her health status is today, but yeah, she was kind of an influential part back then. She's put together a business of collecting, because back then there was florists all over town, like on every street corner. So she had four trucks, and we would like go different places and collect all the flowers from the florist, meet, split them up, you know, go directions. And we got paid by, I'm probably telling you stuff that none of this is going to get anybody in trouble, right?
Well, I mean, I don't know. Unless you have some big thing to share, I don't think so.
It was like $200 a week, $250 a week, and an ounce of pot. That's what we're delivering flowers. And it was so much fun to, you know, because we deliver flowers during the day and play softball in the weekends and the evenings. And that was kind of what my life was like. You know,
that is pretty cool. Yeah.
It was fun. It was a lot.
Yeah, it does sound like fun. It really does. Genuinely.
Yes. It was a whole lot of fun. And like I say, I'm very, very grateful for it. I miss it. I wish we had something like that now.
Yeah. This is kind of related to my last question, if you're ready for it.
All right.
How do you feel when you look back on the country, you know, how do you feel, you know, especially after having talked with me about it, you know, for so long, what do you think and feel when you look back on the country again? Cause it seems like, you know, this was a major part of your life and the life of lives of so many others. But it's also been many years since, you know, that location was still open. Yeah. So what is it like looking back on that? What do you think? What do you feel? You know,
I mean, pretty much what I've been saying. I mean,
yeah,
it was a happy time. It was a happy time. It was definitely a coming out all the way around. You know, it was coming out in so many different ways. And you know, still secret, because there's a lot of softball players that will to this day would say that they're not lesbians. I can think of a few right now, and I bet other people would say the very same ones. But and I don't know, because people are self-conscious and still are. There are a lot of people still self-conscious about it. But, you know, I think that it made a huge difference in me feeling like I had a sense of belonging. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. You know, and then years later, I become a nurse, you know, and that's what Maslow tells us to do.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Becky, those are my questions for the interview. Again, if there's anything else you want to bring up, totally go for it. But in terms of my questions I have down, you've answered them and more. You're gonna above and beyond. So I really appreciate you talking with me.
My pleasure.
Let's stay in touch. And I will text you after this interview, because there's a permission form that like everyone signs basically afterwards. So I'll get your mailing address. That way I can mail you the form. And that is about it. Also, I mean, this would be the same with anyone else, but I'll keep you all posted on any sort of additional news or events related to, you know, country stuff as well.
Well, yeah, I think the more events that you might come up with, the more you're going to learn.
For sure.
The more people that find out about it, I'll come out and talk about it, because I think it's a happy time in all of our lives. So
absolutely.
Just a matter of getting a hold of people.
Absolutely. I agree. All right. Well, Becky, have a good night, and you'll hear from me soon.
All right, honey. You too. Thank you. And thank you for doing this and taking an interest in, I don't know, feels like our lives.
I legitimately am. I mean, it's like, how can I not be? It's lesbians, you know, how can I not be interested?
and then getting to talk to me.
Yeah. Tomboy representative, you know.
Fun.
Yeah, it was honestly, I always have fun with these interviews. All right, well, you have a good night.
Say that again.
Well, I was just saying, I always have fun with these interviews. Like, they're always so funny. You guys are always so, like, I don't know, just happy to talk about the country, really.
Yeah.
And just about, like, gay life and all that kind of stuff. So it's been really awesome.
It wouldn't have been without that. So that was a big deal.
Yeah. All right. Well, again, you have a good night, and you'll hear from me soon.
All right, sweetie. Good luck.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, bye.